God has many secrets, and he reveals it to those who want to know,
quite frankly.
For those who are prepared to pay the price, to go all the way in this last day with the Lord, and God says, I will reveal those secrets. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verse 14. Psalm 25 and verse 14. And here it is, the secret. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now, right through the Bible, to the time of man falling, for man to be redeemed, to be saved, God has to reveal his covenant. And his covenant is secretive in nature. It is a covenant that is not seen by all, but it is seen by the redeemed, and those who want it, and those who desire to see it. And God will unveil that covenant in stages. And this covenant is a covenant of redemption. It's a covenant of relationship. It's a covenant that is not only sealed by Christ's blood, but it is a covenant that has promises. And those promises have to be assimilated, learnt, taken in. And they're revealed to us in stages. And God has showed here that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And that is a godly fear. It is not this tormenting fear that the enemy tries to tell us. It is a godly fear, a fear that, yes, he has the final say. Yes, he holds the future of your soul in his hands, and he will do whatever so he wills. But it's deeper than that. It is a fear, a godly fear, because he's holy. He's everything other than we are. And because he has stooped down and taken on the form of man to bring us back into covenant and relationship with God, all of this is so awe-inspiring. It's something that you really, carnally speaking, you can't get your mind round. The carnal mind cannot really accept this Almighty God coming down into the likeness of man and redeeming man and saving man. The carnal mind just cannot get round that. The carnal mind can't really accept the fact that this is all appropriated by faith. And so we get this idea of the fear of God. The awesomeness of God. Where does he start? Where does he end? There's no beginning. There's no end. Where can he be contained? Why, the heavens upon heavens cannot even contain him. When we look at the stars, the universe, the creation of this planet, the creation of man, we get now this idea, this understanding of the fear of God, the awesomeness of God. We tremble at his presence. And that is what it's like even here this morning. As he comes in his fullness, he's here with us. And so he says, if you can acknowledge that, if you become attuned to that, if you let my glory, my majesty, my presence, me, start to minister to you, then the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he says, I will show you my word. I will show you my covenants. I will show you my plan for the last days, which is the deeper life in the Spirit, that doorway through the ark. Remember that God spoke to us last week that this is a type of ark, as other churches are who are pressing on. So God desires to show us his hidden secrets, which is all part of relationship and this growing with him. I just want to quickly turn to Proverbs 3 and verse 32. Proverbs 3 and verse 32. And here it says here, it's the latter part of it, but his secret counsel is with the upright. His secret counsel is with the upright. It's not with the perverse, the abominable, but it is with those who are redeemed. His secret counsel is with the upright. And notice the word again, it's secret. It is only revealed to a few, and to those who wish to see, to look in to his covenant. And that is what we fundamentally do each time we come together. We come to look into the secrets of his covenant, which is his word, these 66 books. And so he continues to reveal more and more what is hidden that you didn't know until the right appointed time, when it is God's timing. You should now know these secrets that are hidden in the Word of God. But it comes to those who fear the Lord. And that is the key to it. That is the key to it. So what are the signs then of this deeper relationship? What are the signs of it? What is the signs of you who have a relationship with other people? Well, obviously, we meet many, many people in our lives, whether it be at school, whether it be at work, whether it be when you go to the shops, whether it be your neighbours and so forth. And you have various different relationships with people. And those relationships vary. You may see Mrs. Jones down the road that you just nod to and say good morning to. That is a form of relationship. Or you may have neighbours next door that you know quite well, and that occasionally you talk with them or they pop in. So that is a relationship. We then can have relationships in our families. You have a relationship with your mother, your father. But that is different to have relationships, say, with your aunt or your uncle or your cousins. Then there's the relationship between children. There's a relationship between husband and wife. There's the relationship that we have together as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, which is a special relationship, and that relationship has to be revealed. And the relationship that God is building, this unity and oneness, is secretive in nature and has to be learned, has to be assimilated. We have to test these relationships. We have to experience them. And so these are the secrets with the Lord. Now, it's the same with God. He says, the secret with me is the fear of God. That is what he says there. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And remember, the title this morning is The Lord's Hidden Secret. That is his hidden secret. And he says, I will reveal this secret to you. If you take on board the fear of God, then that is going to unfold everything you need to experience and know in this life. Because the secret of the Lord is going to be a continual experience throughout eternity. The overcomers will never stop learning and experiencing the secret of the Lord. But God has said there is enough here in this life that you can start off with that'll prepare you for eternity. And that's wonderful. And that's what the deeper life is about. And these deeper secrets are shared. And so this idea of sharing is this idea of covenant, this idea of marriage, this idea of Christ who's married to his church, the bride who's making herself ready. So there are secrets that are attached to this, that we have to know, and that we have to learn, and that we have to experience. And we will never know unless God reveals them to us. And so these deeper secrets are shared. Now, have we ever asked God what makes him happy? What actually brings joy to him? Because if God is revealing secrets, he's going to reveal secrets about his heart. And if you are in a marriage or betrothed, then that marriage works on the basis of each learning what makes your partner happy, that brings them joy, pleasure. That is how a relationship works and will ever work. Now, the idea of that must come from God in the first place. And so that is what he's showing us now as overcomers, as we're growing, developing, maturing in God. I have been finding myself over the last 6 to 8 months, as I come before God, I've got nothing to say to you. It's like God has virtually stripped me from coming with my lists, my wants, my needs, and so forth. It's like there's nothing there. Because God knows anyway. He's heard it. And it's like I have found myself with the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you interested in? What can I do for you? And that is a work of the Spirit. And that is beginning to show me the secrets with the Lord. That I can actually make my Heavenly Father, I can minister and make him happy. And there are things in my life that I know that makes my Heavenly Father happy. And I also know there are things that do not make him happy. And I bow my head in shame. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that conviction. That's a sign that God's hand is still over my life and working with me. But I am finding more and more, as I go deeper now in this war, I just want to make him happy. And that is the secret with the Lord. And the key to it is the fear of the Lord. And we can make our Heavenly Father happy. Now you might say to me, yeah, well, I know what the Bible says that makes him happy. It's obedience. Well, amen. It is obedience. But how does God work that obedience? That is the question. We can dictate the law and tell you, you must. The Bible, the Word of God says this, and why aren't you doing it? But God knows human nature. He knows man. And he knows that'll put more off. And above all, God doesn't really work that way, not under new covenant. When you apply such a manner in a legalistic way, you are trying to bring the law and enforcing the law, you're trying to go back to the times of Israel under the law. That is past. That is finished. And history tells us that that didn't work. And they perished. History tells us that the law was fulfilled by only one, and that was God's Son coming in the likeness of man in flesh. There was the secret of the Lord being revealed at Calvary. There was Jesus pleasing his Father to the point of giving up his own life unto death. He knew the secret with the Lord. He knew in his life, in his flesh, what ultimately would please his Father, and that was to become that sin bearer, to offer up himself unto death. And we too now are learning the secret with the Lord. And so we see that there is a twofold aspect to crucifixion. Most only receive the first, and that is that Christ died for me and rose again, and now I have been made right, and now I have a relationship with Christ. But the second aspect of the cross, which is the secret with the Lord, is that now you too take up your cross and you daily die empty, that the life of Christ might have his way in and through you and me. That is a secret that is revealed to not all of Christendom. That is why many reject the second aspect of the cross. And when you start to reveal that there are actually two aspects to the cross, they look at you daggers, like you're an absolute heretic. And yet it's all there in the Word of God. So how do we know that? How is it that you are nodding your head in agreement by what I'm now saying? You're doing it because the secret of God has been revealed to you. And flesh and blood cannot show that to you. That's why. And it comes on the basis of accepting the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, and not fighting against it like children would do. Because they totally misinterpret and understand what it means by the fear of God. And so here we're seeing now these hidden secrets. The hidden secret, one of the main hidden secrets for us, the bride, the overcomers, the first fruits, is we too now take our cross up daily and follow him. That is what is going to please your Heavenly Father. And as you allow the cross to do its work, and yes, it's going to be times when you just feel you cannot bear anymore. It's like you have come to the end of yourself. Yet right in the midst of it, right in the raging fires of it, you will experience the secret of the Lord. And you will hear that still small voice. You are very pleasing to me. There is your life. That is the power that sustains and keeps you, which is your being pleasing to the Lord. If we are pleasing to the Lord, then to me, that speaks to me that is God's face shining upon you. That is God's presence upon you. And therefore, wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is protection, there is power, there is preservation, there is life, there is healing, there is deliverance, is there not? And what does that all speak of? Resurrection. Resurrection is the reward of God's secret for you, his blessing, raising you up after death has done its work. These are the hidden secrets that lie with God. And there's so many, many more. I'm probably just scratching the surface to what there is, and I've already said that they will go on throughout eternity anyway. But are we coming before God, continually telling him our wants, our needs, our joys, my desires? And there's nothing wrong with that. Praise God, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen to that. You know, and I come and we come and worship him, and we're singing about the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we're entering his courts with praise and thanksgiving and so forth. We're telling him about our joys. We're telling him, Lord, we want, you know, I've had a busy day, I've had a rotten day, and I've come here tonight, and I want to be lifted up into your presence. Fine. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You know, we all have to start somewhere. But are we continually telling him our wants, our joys, our desires? And the question is, does it leave time in our relationship with God, in our prayer time, does it give us time to talk to him? And does it give us time to listen to what he's actually saying? Do you actually go before God and give him time to hear what he wants to say to you? Have you ever thought about that? It might be staring us right in our baby blues. God actually wants to speak to you. He wants to reveal to you. And you know, there's nothing like it. When God begins to speak, when he begins to reveal his covenant to you, you change. You are not the same. You are stripped and you are reclothed. He has a way of just utterly changing you. And some of you, bless your hearts, that is what you need. And you're not seeing it. You're crying out for change. You're crying out, how long does this go on like this? When am I going to change, oh wretched man or woman that I am? The things I do, I don't do, and the things I don't do, I do. You need to start to hear God. Let God speak. He's heard it all. So there's nothing you're coming before telling him that he's not heard before. He knows. And that takes faith. We like to remind God, don't we? It's a sort of somehow, you know, I don't want you to forget, Father. But you know, that's a manifestation of unbelief coming out. God is not deaf. You only got to tell him once and then thank him for the rest of the time. And let him then speak. Many times when we pray or pray the prayer of faith, or we step out in faith, it requires God to start to speak to us. To quicken, to confirm that faith. But we're too quick spouting off all the promises that we've been taught and learnt over the years. And to make a positive confession. And I'm all to making a positive confession, don't get me wrong. But it's not to the detriment of where you can't hear God anymore. And this, of course, is what the devil has done in a lot of charismatic places today. It's all full of froth and bubble. And that froth and bubble is noise. It's noise. Whether it's noise in worship, you know, just going on and on for 2 or 3 hours in worship. It's just noise goes on. There's never a time where they're open to hear from God. Lord, what are you saying? We need to hear from you. And of course the scriptures tell us, be still and know that I am God. There is a time to be still. There's a time not to be. But we must be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But that is going to start in your life, in your closet, when you close that door and it's you and God. And we need to be on our guard that we're not too quick to start to speak in his presence. But to come into his presence and to worship him and to praise him and to wait upon him and let the Holy Spirit begin to move. Let him begin to take over, because he has to take you into his presence. Did you know that? Did you know that you have to be prepared, you have to be guided by the Holy Spirit to be taken into the presence of Almighty God? That's another reason why the Holy Spirit's come. He's baptized you. He has to prepare you for his presence. Otherwise, if you don't come right in his presence can do damage. Have you ever thought about that? You say, well, how can a father of love and everything, how can his presence do damage? Well, you came before God. And you expected God to answer prayer, or you had a need, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And as a result of it, you become down, depressed, despondent, disillusioned. Why bother? That's probably happened because you didn't come correctly by the Holy Spirit into the presence of God. And so as a result, the hedge came down and the powers of darkness were able to to come in. And the accuser of the brethren will always accuse and tell you why God isn't going to answer your prayer, why he doesn't love you, why he isn't faithful, and so on. And you listen to it and you become depressed. You fall victim to him. Now, they often can be signs you've not actually allowed the Holy Spirit to prepare you to enter into God's presence. Because if the Holy Spirit is there, and he's going to lead. We've had to rely on the Holy Spirit this morning, have we not? To bring us into his presence. So why is it so different for you when you're on your own? So he's prepared us to come into his presence. We've had it times, thank the Lord, it's in the past. We've had times, haven't we, where we didn't come into his presence properly. It was just a free-for-all, it wasn't working, or whatever. And so there was no blessing. There was no real blessing over the meeting. And so we went away a bit despondent, confused. We've had that. Well, what was that? That was because the Spirit, we didn't wait on him, we didn't do it his way, and therefore we were not brought into the presence of Almighty God. See? This is why we have to pray over these meetings. This is why part of my ministry through the week, and I don't need a revelation or what it is this, because it's what God has shown me. But part of my ministry is praying for these meetings. Praying that our hearts will be right. That we come into the presence of the Lord. That God would work with us through the week. Praying for this word that will come through. Praying that my life is right before him in order to minister the word and so on. These meetings don't just happen. This isn't a good idea. Let's be religious on Sunday and come to church. There's preparation behind all of this. And we need to know that. The Holy Spirit has prepared, gone before, for such a meeting like this to happen, to take place, you see. And so, by waiting on God, allowing the Spirit, here you begin to learn the hidden secrets of God. But you don't know that when you're first saved. You just think, I can come before God and tell him how I love him, you know, and he'll answer my prayers and so forth. Fine, that's just like a little child. Child does that. Innocence. Then you suddenly begin to find God's starting to deal with you. You know? I mean, we can all look back and say, do you know, it was so much easier walking with God 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I can look back and say, it was much easier. It was. I had a joy in me. I had a boldness. I could tell anyone about the love of Jesus. And if I look at it and think, where's it all gone? What has happened to me? And how the devil uses it. Well, because God is teaching me the fear of God. He's teaching me not to cast my pearls before swine, which I was doing. Couldn't see it at first. And so he gradually teaches you. And of course the enemy comes vocal and says you're slipping away and backsliding and, you know, you're not walking like you once did with the Lord, and look at these things in your life. Well, yes, they are, but no, it's growing, it's maturity. God is teaching us now those hidden secrets. And those hidden secrets can at times be challenging. It is quite challenging, isn't it? And quite humbling when we begin to hear that God says, will you give me time to speak to you? Will you give me time to show you my secrets, my heart, what I like, what pleases me? Ooh, we say, hadn't thought of it like that. But there we are, hidden secrets coming out. And the key to it is the fear of God. And so when we come before God and we've got all our lists and our wants and needs and everything, is there time left for God to speak? That's the question. And we're living in an age now where we just don't seem to have time, do we? Where do days go? 24 hours just go like that? And some days you just think, I've had no time before God. And you feel as though you've been cheated, you've been robbed, and you just lose your peace. I mean, there have been times I've gone and put my head down on the pillow. I said, Father, I am sorry. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I planned for. I'm absolutely shattered. I'm exhausted. But you know my heart. I wanted to spend some quality time with you today. It just didn't happen. That breaks me. Not because I'm religious. It's because it's what I want. And he's put that affection in my heart. There's that the day just doesn't seem right if I've not met with my Heavenly Father and commune with him. You can say I'm under bondage. You can say I'm legalistic. I don't care what you say. I know what goes on in me, and it's what I want. And if I have not spent that time, or I've talked to him, I have missed the greatest opportunity of that day. As far as I'm concerned. And I'm glad I've got that. I really am. I really am. I don't ever want that to be taken away. But you know, often God reveals in that intimacy those small things which so bless. Small things often show his intimacy. I just want to share something with you. I mean, it's what I'm going through at home at the moment. Most of you know that, yes, we're going through a trial, and praise God, it's absolutely tailor-made. But within all of that trial, I have been tested probably over the last 6 months of things going missing. Suddenly, you know, it's lost, it's gone. You know, and where is it? And so you spend half an hour trying to find things that are just gone, you know. And I just say, Father, you know. And this is tailor-made for me, probably. Probably is an area in me that, a bit of pride, where you just don't lose things, period. Well, we are in the natural. And yesterday, again, something was lost. Something was lost. And in the natural, it was quite important what was lost. And I looked through the usual things, you know, the bags, and under books, and all that sort of usual thing. And I don't know, where is it? And my flesh was saying, here we go again. This is like a regular thing. I can't go through a week without we lose something, you know. And I thought, no, I am not going to feel like this. I thought, I'm going to praise God. God's got it under control. And I thought, I need to be still. See, I've learned this now. I've got to go away and be still. And I got into the Lord's presence. I said, Father, you know where this is. This is important. This has to be found. And no sooner had I spoke, it's only a small thing, and the voice of God spoken to me, it's in the Bible case. And as soon as he spoke, I knew it was right. I knew. And I bounced over and opened the Bible case, and lo and behold, there it was. Now, that is a small thing. That is intimacy. That's what comes out of the secrets of the Lord. It is often those little things that can bring such joy, such blessing, isn't it? Than having in the driveway a new Cadillac or something like that. And God can bless on that, don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to reveal is those little intimate things, you know, that God is there. He speaks and he shows us. And I know you have testimonies also that are similar. But often he reveals in that intimacy, those small things which so bless. And I know that they bless him. And you know, I've felt the Father's heart that he took delight in wanting to tell me that. That's what blessed me. That it blessed him as well. You see? Now some people may think we're totally mad. But they are the secrets that only you and God have. You can't share those with the world. You can't tell your boss at work. Sometimes you can't even tell your own husband or your own wife. And it shouldn't be either, because it is a secret between you and your Heavenly Father. It is such a secret that it's not to be for anything or anyone else. They will not understand. But you do, and your Father understands. As we bring this to a close, Jesus revealed something very important. Remember that the disciples asked the Lord not how to preach, not how to witness, but they asked him how to pray. In Matthew 6 and verse 6, it says here, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." That word "openly" should not be there. It's a mistake. But God rewards you. And that reward is an eternal reward. And listen again what it means. Now this brings a new dimension to prayer, to your prayer life. Do you struggle sometimes? Do you find it difficult? Or the enemy just has a go, hinders you from prayer? Here it is. He says, "But when you pray, go into your room." So that's what you've got to do. Just do it. Got a room somewhere? Got a closet? Just go in there. Why does he want you to go in there? Because he said, "And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place." So he says, when you go in, shut that door. And when you start to open your heart before God, God says, "I'm here with you in this secret place." He's promised that. Here we are. That's why it's so important to get in that closet. Because God says, "I'm going to meet with you in there." And that makes a world of a difference, doesn't it? So he's going to meet with you in that place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So there's the secret. He will reward you. Now, we can't reward God, because he is God. But we can please his heart in those rewards. And as he rewards us, so the secret with the Lord, which is not only to fear him, but as he rewards us, so we give back through those rewards what pleases him, what he takes delight in. And the only way you are going to know those secrets and how God takes delight in you is to ask him to reveal it to you. Because we don't know otherwise, do we? "Father, what gives you great pleasure, joy with me, that I can give to you and minister back to you? I don't know, but I want to know." That's where you start. And if you mean business and you want that, I can tell you, you are on the threshold of a new experience and prayer life with God. Believe me. They are the hidden secrets of the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27 and verse 5. "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Now I believe the Lord has revealed to me that this is a clue, a key, to the overcomers preserved for the rapture. What is he promised here? In the time of trouble, trials, trouble, wars, you name it, whatever it is, he shall hide me in his pavilion. We all know what a pavilion is, don't we? You go into it. It's there, it's a place. And he says, in the secret place of his tabernacle. So he refers this pavilion to his tabernacle, to to his secret place. That is where God dwells. Now, in God's presence, where he dwells, there's no war, there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no bondage, there's no sin. I can just go on. And he says, that is where I hide you in time of trouble. Now, have you ever thought about that? We tend to think and believe the enemy's lie. Well, I'm going through a trial and I've got to stand firm. But it never occurs to us that in that trial or whatever is happening, that God will hide us in his secret pavilion. There are many testimonies through World War II where when Jews were hid, God used that to hide, to blind the eyes of the Nazis when they were coming to take them away to the concentration camps. There were many testimonies where families, people took Jews in, and of course if they took them in, they also could be put to the labour camps or the firing squad. And yet in that pavilion, that secret place where they put them, they were hid from the Nazis. Now, how much more is God going to do that with the overcomers? He is going to hide you. He is going to preserve you in his secret place. But you've got to know where those secret places are. And to know that, you have to have those secret places revealed to you. Do you not? Now, God's beginning to show us something about preservation for the last days. So that means no sickness, no disease, plagues, whatever, will start to come, and they're coming. They're coming. Doctors, medical science are worried about certain diseases that they're seeing that are forming, mutating. But they don't let on all. They don't, because they don't want mass hysteria. But they are concerned of a lot of modern diseases are forming, and they see under the microscopes. Here it is. God has promised. He will hide us in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock. What is that rock? The rock of Christ. The foundation. This, if you like, is a type of pavilion. A refuge. This tabernacle. This ark again. We don't know in these last days what God may do. We could be assembled together and they're coming to get us. And suddenly we disappear from their sight. They don't see us. I mean, they do it in witchcraft. How much more with God? Witches can disappear. They know how to do it. In trouble, he hides us in that secret place. He hid the children of Israel, over 1 million people, didn't he? The world knew something was going on, but they couldn't see actually what was happening. God hid them. There again, he hid them for his presence, wanting to reveal his secrets to them. And so you are hid. I am hid. The man-child, again, the analogy. The man-child has to be hid because that is God's secret. That is his. That is his pleasure. That is his delight. That which is hid is going to minister to him. Is also concerned about his desires, his wants. That is what is hid. That is why you are hid, friends. Don't fight against it. Don't apologize for it. I'm not anymore. I'm free from this. I used to be in bondage about this years ago. You know, others would say, well, what are you doing? What is your outreach? And, you know, do you go on the streets and evangelize and this and that? And all used to come out. I used to feel embarrassed. I said, well, no, we don't do anything like that. You know, and they'd sort of take one step of us and say, well, who are you? And I'd go before God and say, Lord, why aren't we doing these things? Why aren't we joining with the rest of the churches and going on these campaigns and evangelistic courses and you name it? I used to seek God and nothing will come back. And yet when I would try to pursue it, or you know, go along to some of these meetings, it was like a door would shut in front of me. and I'll get nothing out of it. In fact, I used to see through it, and I used to come away utterly disappointed until I got the message. We are hid. And it's God's plan. He's made no mistake. I don't even apologise for it now. It's in his hands. He knows what he's doing. But I can see the fruit of it. I can see that all of this is going to minister to him in the last days, which of course the bride does she not? As she makes herself ready. It's what it's all about. It's relationship. Well, there we are. The Lord's hidden secrets. And I've just revealed just a minuscule of what there is to these secrets. But I know I was blessed when God began to reveal this to me in the week, and I trust that you are also. Father, again, we want to thank you this morning. Sometimes, Lord, when sermons have been preached and you've spoken, Lord, there's nothing more to add to it, nothing else one can say. But Lord, I pray that everyone who has heard this message, not only in this place but also over on the internet, will begin to go before your presence and begin to ask, Lord, what are your secrets? I'm here. I'm ready. I want to know. And whatever it takes to do that, then work it. I believe, Father, that's what you are saying through all of this. And I pray all will enter into the blessing of this, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.